In this podcast, I'd like to point out the distinction between work and energy. We already know in conventional wisdom that energy is different than power, because energy is power per unit time, so it's measured in joules, while power excludes time as a factor, and so it's measured in watts. But work, we stop short of going all the way, and that's a mistake, because work is the application of energy, and depending on, and it's expressed in terms of reactants, both electrical and magnetic, and that application of energy to perform work is what ultimately matters. It doesn't matter how much energy we use. Well, it does, actually, but it matters more how efficient do we utilize that energy to perform work can make all the difference. So much so that a fixed quantity of energy, if we wanted to make a comparison, we could say, well, we could get X amount of work out of that limited block of energy, or we could take the same quantity of energy and get more work or less work out of it, and a simulator does not know the difference insofar as work is concerned. All it looks at is energy. And so it'll rate it in terms of energy. And so even though it's not more energy, it's more work from the same amount of energy. But the simulator will tell you, oh, you've got more energy in the system, or you've got less energy in the system. And then you'll scratch your head and go, what? And the conservatives, who know better, will say, hey, that defies conservation of energy. Yeah, because the simulator does not make the difference. It does not distinguish the difference of how energy can look like it's more or less than it actually is, because that other factor of work is in there, and it obliterates it, it ignores it, skips right over it, and assumes it's all about energy and it's not about anything else. And that is so bogus, it's pathetic. Let me give you an example. It's not the best example in the world, but maybe it'll work for you. So let's say we have a bucket brigade and it's only one individual. Now, we could have hired 1,000 individuals to get that bucket brigade to be more efficient, but we don't have the resources to do that. And so all we can hire is this one guy. And he, on top of which, to put out the bonfire, he has to work with such a restricted limitation of using a thimble sized bucket. His bucket is the size of a thimble, a sewing thimble, you know, size of the end of your finger. And yet we have to have him put out that bonfire. Now, we can fill his bucket instantaneously with an infinite quantity of water if he could handle it. But all he's got is a thimble. And he doesn't have to move. He stays in place where he's positioned, in between us and the bonfire. And there's really no distance, obviously, between us and the bonfire. He's just standing there in between the two points. And all he has to do is rotate. Actually, he doesn't even rotate. He's like a cartoon figure in which he inverts himself per cycle of oscillating polarity of which direction he's pointed in. He's either facing me and I'm filling his little thimble, or he inverts himself and he's facing away from me, facing the bonfire, and spilling the contents of the thimble onto the bonfire. So he doesn't have to move or go anywhere. All he has to do is invert his polarity of which way he faces, away from me to put out the fire or towards me to fill his little thimble-sized bucket. So how do I get him to do the work that 1,000 people I would have had to hire, raising my cost of hiring those people by a factor of 1,000 or 1,000,000, depending on how fast I want to put out that bonfire and how large is that bonfire. But I don't have to. I can just employ him and his services, and he doesn't tire, so that I don't need to hire more guys or gals. I just have him oscillate his polarity of direction more quickly so that I'm busy filling his thimble as fast as he can face me. And meanwhile, he's turning aside and spilling it onto the bonfire at a faster rate if I increase his frequency of oscillation. just that factor alone of frequency. Now, if I didn't, it would take duration, but it wouldn't even work because the bonfire would probably, the surrounding trees would catch fire and the bonfire would spread and become a wildfire, a forest fire. And so I really am constrained by the limitation that I can't let that bonfire get out of hand. I can't allow myself the luxury of waiting around a longer duration for him to put out that fire. I have to put it out now, within a reasonable length of time, a few seconds maybe at the most. And the only way to do that is to increase his rate of frequency. Now, I could do other things, like increase the capacity of his thimble, but just focusing for the purposes of keeping this analogy simple on frequency alone, if that's all I do is increase his frequency, I can actually achieve the goal of making it look like I have more men and women helping me put out that bonfire, expending more energy, and I have to feed them more food and give them more lodging and whatnot, and breaks and shifts. I don't want to do that. I just want to hire this one guy and just have him invert himself more quickly. And it works. It puts out the fire. And from the simulator's point of view, it doesn't see that what has really happened is work has increased. Yet his energy has not, because he doesn't move. And I don't move. All that's happened is the increase of his frequency of oscillation. And there are instances in electrical engineering wherein that's all people have done is increase frequency, and they start getting over unity. But again, the simulator doesn't know the difference because it doesn't know that that's a byproduct of work, the outcome, the result of work. And specifically reactance, because electrical reactance, even more specifically, and frequency within the realm of electrical reactance more precisely. So we've used reactance as a leverage to get more work out of the fixed quantity of energy that we have going on here. And yet, because we don't look at things properly, we think we look at them improperly, and then, oh well, we claim it defies physics, and then we ignore it altogether. So it becomes a tailspin, in which a little ignorance results in total ignorance. And that's wrong. It's morally wrong to deny ourselves greater awareness. Because the knowledge is there, but we don't use it. See, again, it's a question of work. We're not creating new knowledge here. This is knowledge that's been around for more than a century among electrical engineers. More than a century. Yet nobody applies it because they're told there's no way you can apply it to get results. And that's like saying, well, you've got to remain stupid and all you can build are flashlight circuits. Well, look at all these digital electronics, but they're digital. They're not analog. So in the realm of analog circuitry, we're kept foolishly ignorant and stupid. Meanwhile, we're advancing all of this intricacy of digital electronics, and it's nice, but we still have to get power to power all of that digital circuitry. And what's the use if we can't, if we're tie ourselves? See, so we're really being frivolous is what we're doing by advancing something that has nothing, no concern whatsoever as to how we're going to give all our machinery, our digitized machinery, more energy. Now that we have all this machinery to empower, we don't bother to go there and develop that knowledge. We just say, oh, let's just develop more machinery with more sophisticated digital electronics and create a greater demand for more energy. And, of course, the energy sources such as batteries and the utility grid loves that state of affairs. You know, it's okay to have a society that's highly specialized, but to be ignorant on base fundamentals is ridiculous. It's suicidal. It literally is. It's top-heavy and makes it very easy for this society to be crushed by its own top-heavy weight. The fact that it never bothers to secure a firm foundation and just keeps building more stories, not worrying about, well, you built your building, your first floor on one of these, I don't know what it's called, but it's a situation in which the water table can quickly rise up in the mildest earthquake because the soil is just sand and the water table is not far away. And all you need is a light earthquake and that water table is going to rise. Your first floor is going to sink and you're building more floors? Well, why not? See, this is the foolishness, but this is the way we have guided or lack of guidance to our social infrastructure of electrical engineering. Literally no guidance. We just keep going in the same direction because we think we can get away with it. Well, the telegraph network was thrown out of whack over 100 years ago, about 150 years ago, 160 years ago, all because of something similar to ball lightning, but more accurately is a solar flare in the formation of a ball lightning, which came from the sun. It traveled great distances, did not diffuse itself because it was a ball. All it had to do was maintain its sphericity, and it maintains its existence, and it hit the Earth sometime in the 1850s or 40s and empowered the Earth to such a degree that telegraph operators had to stand away from their keys or else get a nasty shock. They disconnected all of the earth batteries that powered the line, the telegraph line, about every 150 miles or so. They had to disconnect the batteries. And yet still, the telegraph keys rattled on their own. They called them ghost messages. And the telegraph was unusable. Nobody could use it because it was a hazard to use it. And it took a while for the energy of the Earth to die down enough so that the telegraph system could be usable again. See, they didn't use a return wire on the telegraph system. They used the Earth as their return link. And since the Earth was supplying all of this energy that it had got bombarded by that fireball from the sun. Well, it wouldn't take much to wipe us out, and then we'd be back to square one again because we're so top-heavy. Anyway. So getting back to the fact that we overlook reactance is work. It's the efficiency, the coefficient. It's the coefficient of performance. So we talk about coefficients of performance to state, okay, how efficient is the system? Is it under 100%? Is it over 100%? Like a heat pump can have a coefficiency of performance greater than 100%. Well, we never think about that in terms of circuitry because we just assume energy is fixed, and that's the whole story. Not thinking about reactants functioning as a leverage for work efficiency. How efficient do we apply the energy to perform work? We never think about that. And I just gave you one example of frequency and also duration, so I gave you two examples. Duration is what you, if all you have is duration, that's what you use when you don't have efficiency. You wait around longer. But if you have frequency, you can begin to wait less time. And if you bring in capacitance and inductance along with frequency, you don't have to wait at all. You can have it in nanoseconds. All of the effective energy you want to have without having any more energy than you had before. So it still costs you the same amount of input to run the darn thing, yet you get more work out of it as if more energy were there. And the simulator doesn't know the difference. It'll tell you there's more energy there, even though there is not more energy there. And then people are so brainwashed into thinking conservation of energy is everything because they think energy is everything. They don't realize reactance is efficiency of the application of energy to perform work. And so nobody thinks of work there. They say, oh, that's reactance, that doesn't mean anything, that's just a temporary storage, blah, blah, blah. The energy gets shuffled around between capacitors and inductors. And they don't stop to think about that shuffling as work. And what can I get out of this if I improve it to get more work out of it, even though it's the same amount of energy? Nobody thinks of that. And the simulator can't because it wasn't designed to think that way. And so it reinforces our stupidity. And our ignorance, which is the same thing. So we have this positive feedback reinforcement of the stupidity of simulators not telling us what the reactance means in real life terms. It means work efficiency of the application of energy. It's not just some obtuse term, and it's not just the shuffling of energy back and forth between components. It's more than that. It has relevance in terms of work. You know, you get on a horse to plow a field versus you got our guy with a little thimble and you increase his frequency. Gosh, you could plow a gazillion fields using the same amount of energy in less time to do it if we improved efficiency of energy applied to perform work. Now, you notice how complicated it was for me to state that? That shows we're ignorant on that very important subject, and it's no small wonder that simulators reinforce that ignorance by making it look like energy came out of nowhere, violating the conservation of energy. It's no small wonder. We have this positive feedback that secures our foundation, or secures the foundation of the energy suppliers, that they will continue to make lots of money and will continue to work like dogs, mad dogs, just to keep up with the failing dollar that keeps losing its purchasing power as inflation keeps slowly creeping upwards. It just makes everybody stressed out of their gourd. All because of our ignorance. All because of our ignorance. So I want to leave you with that fact, how important it is to view reactants in a new way. That it isn't just something obtuse and, oh, we don't have to worry about it because it's a minor detail. No, it's a major detail because it's going to matter all the difference, make all the difference in the world between success and failure in terms of how much money you've got to spend on energy and can you get as much work out of that energy regardless of how limited your funds are to pay for energy. Can you power something more than a thimble? Can you power a battleship that's totally electrified? Electric motors, everything is electric on that battleship. Can you apply that fixed amount of energy that was no good for anything other than powering a flashlight bulb in a flashlight, one-time use and sent back to the DC dry cell battery? You know, it's the same quantity of energy, yet it's not used the same way in those two different circumstances, comparing a flashlight to a battleship. You know, two different loads, two different, drastically different loads, yet we're getting more work out of one and less work out of the other, even though it's the same amount of energy and it's two drastically different loads. How do we cope with that? Well, Mother Nature gave us all the knowledge we need, but we don't know the significance of it. You know, usually you want to humanize these abstract, obtuse terminology like electrical reactants and magnetic reactants. What does that mean, really? You know, on the bottom line, when it comes time to do your job as an electrical designer of appliances, what does that mean? It means how much work you're going to get out of it. You're going to get a little puny amount of work, or are you going to get lots of work out of it? Is it going to be regulatable, or is it going to be unmanageable and blow up your circuit, or is it going to go comatose and go dead on you? And convince everyone, see, free energy doesn't exist. It's a fallacy to believe in it. It's a con job. Hogwash. It's not a con job. It just requires greater intelligence to realize what you're dealing with and how to humanize something abstract such as reactants and call it work. Then it means something. Oh, work. I know what that is. I do that every day. Wouldn't you want a job where you don't have to sweat so much, unless you love your job and you love to sweat over it, sweat buckets, talk about larger than the size of a thimble. I mean, unless that's the case, maybe you'd like to simplify your job and not have to do hardly any work at all and make the same amount of money or even more money. That's efficiency of work, of energy applied to perform work. That's what electrical reactants and magnetic reactants address, that issue. Of how efficient do we use the energy that we're allotted in our lifespan? We have only so much energy, right? We're only going to live so long. We can only eat so much food. We can only get so much rest at night. So when we come to our work day, how much work can we get done and then come home to our wife and say, well, here's the bacon, so to speak, you know, the money to pay for our bills. I'm sorry, I couldn't bring home very much money today, or I brought home a bundle. All because we became more efficient. I'm sorry for the distraction, but I guess this is the time to terminate this. I really don't have anything more to say. I'm just repeating myself. So I hope you get that. All right?